Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for tuning in to all things Fan Run. Oh man, big show lined up for you this afternoon. We're going to try and hold off the rain showers scheduled to hit East Tennessee a little bit later. Barry, good afternoon. How are you, sir? Let's try that again. Barry, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine, Russ. How about you?
You sound fantastic.
Como esta, mi amigo?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Fired up, focused, and prepared. We got a lot going on here this afternoon. David Ubben is on in 15 minutes. Lucas Panzeca is on next hour. Really looking forward to talk to him. He had a great experience last night that he's going to tell us about. But we got a lot of recruiting news to get to, and I don't even really know where to start because there's huge recruiting news. We got commitments in football and basketball. Going to start with basketball because I think – The recruits are higher rated, and I think the impact is going to be bigger. But I think football, I mean, it's no matter how mad we try and mess it up here, it's still a football school, and we'll talk about that too. But let's start with basketball. Tennessee gets a commitment today. Jonas Idu, 7 foot, 215-pound, 4-star center out of Charlotte Liberty Heights High School. Commits to Tennessee. He joins Kennedy Chandler, Jermaine Meshack, Quentin Dibunje, and Justin Powell as new faces as Rick Barnes' roster makeover continues this offseason. And here's what they're saying about Jonas Idu. His high school coach, Mike Wright, says Tennessee's getting a great kid who will be very involved in everything going on. The fans and student body will love him. Basketball-wise, he is an unselfish, high IQ player who can affect the game offensively and defensively in the same way. He can stretch the floor, finish around the basket, and he can really block shots. We feel like Tennessee is the best place for him to develop his game. They were on his final list the first time around, and he is happy to be signing with Tennessee and happy to be close to home. Remember, he is originally committed to Marquette. One of the assistants there, Justin Ganey, recently hired by Rick Barnes and as an assistant here at Tennessee. And, Bear, we get another 7-footer for the Vols.
I mean, you'd think the law of averages would state, Russell, that surely one of these guys will hit.
Surely.
Surely.
Surely, I mean, you must be serious.
Surely. It's an awesome pickup. Is it true that if everything falls correctly, we could end up with a number two recruiting class this year?
Like if we get Huntley Hatfield? I don't know. I don't know about all that, but it's shaping up to be pretty good. I compared Idu to Steve Hammer earlier this week. I stand by that comparison. He's also
I will stand by my statement. That's awfully high praise to be going out and giving to an 18-year-old kid that we haven't even seen play basketball before.
Well, the other comparison he's drawing is Miles Turner, who's only been in the NBA for the past 5 years. So, yeah, I mean, high praise for the 7-footer from Charlotte. This big Bear, it's what we need, a rim protector, a guy who's skilled around the basket. this is a really big pickup, I think, for Rick Barnes in the program.
Oh, sure it is. Yeah, it's a shot in the arm. So the turnover continues. The infusion of new blood. I'm fired up.
And it could be continuing sooner rather than later. Travis Branham, who is a college basketball recruiting analyst for 247sports.com, has changed his crystal ball prediction over at 247 for five-star Brandon Huntley Hatfield from Ole Miss to Tennessee.
Yeah, Hatfield's going to be a Vol.
The number six overall prospect in the 2022 composite rankings sounds to be coming to an end this week, his recruitment, and all signs are now pointing to Huntley Hatfield staying close to home and playing in Knoxville. 6'10", 240, one of the premier talents in grassroots basketball, given his incredible physical tools and natural talent that he possesses. Huntley Hatfield has a pro-level body already just as a junior in high school and possesses an impressive skill set with the ability to attack off the bounce as a talented passer and is an improved shooter.
Yeah, he's going to come down to how motivated he is. And, you know, the knock on him is just a motivational thing.
Yeah.
It's not talent. It's not God-given natural ability. So hopefully he'll come in fired up and ready to go. That's a pretty big ask for a junior in high school to jump into the SEC.
Yeah, I've got mixed feelings on it. Certainly we want him. He's a five-star. The games I've watched him play, that was kind of my thing, is like he's a man amongst boys, and he seems disinterested at times. These kids play so much basketball now, man, where it's just
– oh, it's year-round.
Games all the time. And I would hope that once he gets in Rick Barnes's program that he'd be focused. He's drawn comparisons to Chris Webber as far as a guy that he compares to.
Who is the guest we get that doesn't like to compare –
I don't like to compare.
Is it David?
No, it's Andre Whitehead doesn't like that.
Oh,
game.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'm Chris Webber. Where the hell do they get this stuff?
Well, I see it. I think it's a good comparison, man. When you watch him play, just the way he moves, like he doesn't look like he's 6'10". He looks smaller and compact, but you could tell he's super athletic. And I mean, I don't think it's an absurd comparison, but this is huge for Rick Barnes. If he's able to add BHH next to I do, as Jonas I do says I do to Rick Barnes, the basketball Vols. Let's hope it is a marriage made in heaven. Big news, big goings on. Tennessee basketball continues to flip the roster. And for those of you scoring at home with the commitment of I do, Tennessee, now, if we are counting John Fulkerson in, as we have been for most people, I believe, think he's leaning that way. If we're counting Fulky as coming back, now 10 out of 14 spots, there could be as many as 9 new players on next year's team with 5 players returning. If John
That's
Fulkerson
wild,
comes
man.
Back, college basketball free agency. You got to love it.
Yeah, man, that's crazy that we'll have we'll barely recognize this bunch next year.
Well, and
we're going to have a program, Russ.
So we got 5 guys coming. If you got Folky, Triple J, Kamwa, Vescovi, and Urosh, and pretty much the only guy that I haven't heard even a whisper of him leaving is Triple J.
Yeah, he ain't going nowhere.
And I don't think any of the others are leaving. I know Vescovi is kicking around some options.
Is he going to go play in Turkey?
Well, he could go home and play in Argentina, in South America. He could go play in Europe somewhere.
Make like 60, 70K a year, something like that.
I don't know.
What's he doing?
It'd be 60 or 70K more than he's making here. Like, hey,
I mean, that's true.
You got a finite number of years to play basketball for a living. I don't begrudge anybody.
Let me ask you this. Is he seeing the writing on the wall as far as, playing time?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. He knows Kennedy Chandler's going to come in here and be the man, probably. I'll say this. I know a lot of people are like, Vescovi is, not that good, whatever. If you want to go, if that's fine. No, no big loss. I hope he stays. I love Viscovy, man. Big Viscovy guy.
I do too, simply for the reason that I think that Barnes, out of necessity more than anything, that he's been played out of position the past year and a half. You got to keep in mind, I mean, the kid's only been with the team for a season and a half. He is a I think he's a decent post up 3-point shooter. I'm interested to see how his game will develop if all the pressure of being the point guard doesn't fall on him and he can go back to what I think is his more natural role, is just find a spot, you know, kick the ball to him, let him shoot, and that's it. You aren't trying to get this kid to be.
See, I disagree. I obviously Chandler's going to be the man. Like, if he's always cracked up to be, he should be the guy who plays 30 plus minutes at the point. I just think I'm huge Viscovy guy, man. I actually wish Barnes would turn him loose more. I missed that flair that we saw the first 10 or so games. I know he had a bunch of turnovers.
15 turnovers a game.
But he was also – he wasn't average, not that many, but his turnover numbers went down this year, but so did his assist number. But anyway, I mean, it's going to be a moot point because Kennedy Chandler is going to be the man at the point for Tennessee. All right, let's hit this football commitment today. The first commitment of the Josh Heupel era at Tennessee. It is in Elijah Herring. We talked about him 2 days ago here on this very show, Bear. From Murfreesboro, Riverdale. He picks Tennessee over Michigan, Mizzou, Kentucky, Virginia Tech, and Vanderbilt, among others. And
like it?
Not a super highly touted recruit. He's your proverbial three-star. And the thing here, though,
so
is
– Patrick Willis, Russ.
True. And he has a nice offer list. I mean, not an elite offer list, but those are SEC offers. Michigan wanted him. Virginia Tech was in there. So it's a decent offer list. But maybe the most important thing is his younger brother, who I believe just finished his first year, his freshman year of football, is already being looked at as potentially the best player in the state in his class, like a 4 or 5 star type guy. So you get this guy in here, you coach him up, maybe he becomes a nice player for you. Who knows? The worst case scenario, it's not the worst case scenario, but at the very least, you're hoping that you bring him in here. He's a solid citizen, good team guy, and he has a really good experience and convinces his brother to follow in his footsteps to Knoxville.
I mean, that would be nice. That doesn't normally work out for us, but I mean.
Well, I don't think that this is a package deal. Like, I mean, that recruiting class, now the cynic might say, well, those offers are contingent on his brother. All those other schools are offering because they want his brother. I don't know.
Maybe. I really don't think so.
Why?
Because he's a solid. I've watched his film. The kid's a solid linebacker. You call him a 3-star all you want, but I mean, he's a solid linebacker. I think at this point in time where Tennessee's at as a program, I don't think they may have ulterior motives with his younger brother, but have you looked at our linebacker room, Russ?
Good point. Yeah, we need warm bodies. Speaking of warm bodies, the Wade twins, they're very warm. Is that kind of creepy? Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, real creepy.
They make their decision on Friday, and the scuttlebutt on the interwebs is that they could be leaning towards Kentucky.
If they want to be losers, let them go be losers up there in Kentucky.
Now, Bear, we've got David Ubbin coming on momentarily, so we don't have time to give this the proper meltdown that it probably deserves. We could circle back a little bit later.
Sure.
But good grief, man.
You don't want to be losing kids to Kentucky.
Shout out to my boy Brian. We didn't make it out of the first segment without saying, what does it say about our program when we're losing high-level in-state prospects to Kentucky? Well, it doesn't say good things.
No, it doesn't.
Then you've got Tennessee baseball.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Tony Vitello and the boys.
Oh, no, we're going to lose a midweek game, Bear.
Who said that?
You.
When did I say that?
Yesterday. I told you to keep the faith yesterday, buddy.
When did I say we were going to lose to Western Carolina? That did not happen.
I remember it.
GP3, do you remember this?
We were a little worried here in studio, but we never, you know, hollering.
Yeah, nobody was waving the white flag to the Catamounts. Get out of here with that nonsense, Bear. All right, stay with us.
We need to keep on with Guy.
Stay with us. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio. David St. Ubben of Spinal Tap and The Athletic joins us coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive. You
Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russell and Bear back with you. Pleased to be joined by David Ubben of The Athletic on the G3 Help Me Hotline. David, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks for jumping on, as always. David, you had a great piece, The Athletic, about Rodney Garner, Glenn Ellerbe, meeting with the media. And one thing you say about Jeremy Pruitt, he did not leave a lack of size on that offensive line, did he, David?
He did not, and I think you look around. I mean, certainly, you know, it's a little complicated in terms of what you left, because you can't really blame them for all the transfers and all that stuff. So, you know, you look around at the running back spot. You know, there's not a lot of bodies there. Linebacker, kind of the same type of deal there. They just don't have the bodies. But you look at the defensive and the offensive line, they got a lot of depth and they got a lot of promise. And, you know, those are two spots that, for all of Tennessee's shortcomings at the moment and concerns, the lines of scrimmage should not be one. And so it's interesting to kind of look at the roster, and I mean, those are two places that should be real strengths for this team.
Do you find it ironic that, you know, Pruitt, we all heard the story when he first got here and he's watching the team come in and he says, "Well, where are all the big men?" No, there are no – and then so he spends the next 3 years fighting like the biggest football players he can, and now he's fired and they bring in a staff that I don't know if this is 100% true, but it seems like they value athleticism a little bit more over size.
Well, the thing about making plans and trying to build as a coach is that you don't always get the chance to see those plans to fruition. The SEC is many things, but it is not a patient group of folks. And Tennessee certainly has learned that over the last, 10, 12 years. I mean, they had their plan. It wasn't necessarily working all that well. But, yeah, I think, you know, it's not like we're going to see a move toward recruiting 260-pound linemen and putting weight on them like we saw in the Butch era. But, I don't know that they're going to be prioritizing, you know, 335-pound linemen as well. So we'll see. The K'Ron Calvert and the big dudes, I think you may see a little bit probably closer to, you know, 3 bills, 290, 305, 310, probably in that range as far as guys that they prioritize moving forward.
David Ubben with us. You can read more about the offensive and defensive line returnees in his piece over at The Athletic. David, what is your thoughts on the overall talent level in the program right now? We've seen these patterns start to emerge, right? We've seen this with the previous coaching regimes that have come in here. They all say, well, there's just not much talent here. There's not much talent. But I go on 247sports.com. I look at the talent composite where they rank the – it's recruiting, obviously, but the star level of all the players on the roster. And Tennessee's 15th, 16th in the country. Doesn't seem like a roster completely devoid of talent to me.
Yeah, I think the issue is just going to be in depth. You know, you look at them, there's not a lot of places. I mean, besides linebacker, and we'll see what happens with some of these suspensions and getting guys back in the spring. And, you know, not to give false hope, but, you know, the Crouch toe-to-toe doors aren't completely slammed shut. We'll see, but the issue is just they're not going to have a lot of depth anywhere really besides the lines. I think they've got 4 scholarship corners. They might move some guys around. Running back, you got nothing there. Receiver, you got two guys that have kind of played, and even those guys aren't, like, certainly proven entities, really. You just don't have a lot of depth. You have probably, you know, you look around. I don't know if there's any spot, you know, once the linebackers get back, but you don't have any SEC quality starters. You have a pretty good starting 22, you know, with a little bit of a rotation as well of, like, SEC quality players. Maybe they're not experienced. They're not five stars. You know, they're not going to be dominant in the SEC, but you're not throwing, you know, like the Vanderbilt roster last year where you have, you know, we got, what, 45 guys or whatever, and, you know, like, this is not a roster that should be playing in the SEC. Tennessee's not going to be having that situation. But if they get in some injuries, you know, or have some injury issues, I would not rule out the possibility of, you know, especially at linebacker, you know, you have to play some walk-ons. You have to play some not highly recruited true freshmen. I can see them getting in that situation. So you want to stay healthy. But right now, that's the thing. If they have, like, you know, good players at every position, guys that can contribute and be the kind of guy that you need to be to contribute and be starter quality in the SEC, can you be winning players in the SEC? Time will tell. But just that, the bigger issue is the depth, more than who they've got at the top of the depth chart. Because they should be okay at the top of the depth chart almost everywhere. Mm. But it's not going to take many injuries to expose. I mean, Tennessee lost so many guys. We have not seen anything like this before in college sports because it's such an unprecedented year. We just have not seen this before. And Tennessee is going to bear the brunt of that.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. Do you expect Tennessee, they've been active in the transfer portal as far as guys going in. Do you think that they will try and pluck some guys out from other schools here after spring ball in the summer?
I think so. I mean, I think you have to. I think quarterback, linebacker, defensive back will be the three spots that jump out to me where, you know, right now it doesn't sound like they're really actively pursuing a ton of guys in terms of, like, you know, spending every day talking to them. But yeah, after spring, I think we'll see, and I'd be shocked if they didn't add at least, you know, a couple guys. I don't, you know, the issue that they have is they have to figure out what they want to do with these scholarships because they can backdate scholarships that they leave open for any sanctions that come. So, you know, Tennessee almost certainly not going to be eligible for a bowl in the fall. I'm sure they'll self-impose that. You don't have a team that's going to do a whole lot. You want to get started on getting those scholarship reductions out of the way now rather than fill in with guys that might not, you're going to take up scholarship, but, you know, they're not going to have spring. They might not be what you hope they are. Usually if guys are going in the transfer portal, they're usually going in for a reason, and, you know, people like to build them up, but sometimes those guys don't turn out. Most of the time, I say those guys don't turn out to be what people hope they are. So you have to make those decisions, those roster decisions. They're going to be, I think, decisions that they'll make after spring. So I think they might take one or two, maybe three guys, but filling up the scholarships, we'll see. I think TBD, but I would not be surprised if they let the chips fall where they may on that front.
You mentioned quarterback there, and, you know, they've got three guys on scholarship going through drills right now. And then presumably Salter is going to come back, making it four. Is that a function of you think that they might lose some of those guys in the offseason or that they could be dissatisfied with what they've seen from the quarterbacks, the three that have gone through spring drills so far?
Well, I think, you know, all three of those guys, you know, if you're leaving the spring and you're number three on the depth chart, you probably have some thinking to get to do, right? You know, certainly there's been some buzz around Tennessee and Joe Milton, the Michigan transfer, we'll see there. But I wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee sees, you know, one of those guys whoever finishes third on the depth chart. You know, we'll see what Salter does whenever he's able to get back. We'll see what they have to offer. But I wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee lost the guy. And I don't know that it would be a, you know, really much of a reflection on the current staff or the turnover, as much as just guys want to play, and a quarterback only has one spot, and it sort of is what it is.
David Ubben with us this afternoon from The Athletic. David, what are your thoughts on this ESPN FPI thing that everybody was talking about on the internet yesterday? I believe it had Tennessee a 75-80% chance, something like that, to win six games and go to a bowl, and about 7-5 record prediction. Sound about right to you?
I mean, yeah, it's possible. I think Tennessee looks like a 5 or 6 win team. I think the ceiling is probably 7. I mean, they're aided by the fact that the schedule's pretty easy. I mean, you have 3 basically guaranteed wins. You got 5th, it looks like a coin flip. And then you still should beat Vandy, and then you start getting into South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri territory, a team that you probably can beat, but you might be a slight underdog to them. Missouri and Kentucky are probably going to be pretty good, but South Carolina certainly hit a gigantic reset button. Kentucky rehashing their staff and all that stuff. So, you know, Danny White talked a lot about, hey, we set things up where usually people have a better year one than some people are expecting. And, you know, I think Tennessee will certainly be fun to watch, and we'll see kind of what that looks like. But, yeah, I think somewhere in that 5 to 7 win range, if Tennessee falls outside of that, I'll be really surprised.
Do you have access to the transfer portal? And, and if so, David, we're hooking you up to the lie detector. We'll know. We've injected you with sodium pentothal here this afternoon. Are you worried that the NCAA could track your IP address and find out who gave you access to the portal, thus burning an important source?
Listen, my lawyers have advised me to plead the 5th, and I've got 3 letters for you, my friend. VPN.
Hey, you got to love the NCAA, man. They really focus on the important stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've actually talked to folks about that today. I think it sounds like that's more just like basketball people talking more than like a real emphasis. I mean, if there's like a giant red flag, then maybe they just pull access for that one particular coach's login. But like the portal, it's kind of hard to explain. Like, it's not really like one particular thing. It's a subset of a bunch of other things. So it's like, it's not as cut and dry, I think, is sort of that made it sound. But I would be surprised if that becomes like a major thing. I'll just say that. So.
Last thing for you, David. We'll let you out of here. Are you surprised at running back, where they've made it pretty clear they're only going to play one guy? They're not going to have any 2 running back sets. You've got Jabari Small. You've got Tyon Evans. You've got D. Beckwith, who looked good. And then the Jalen Wright kid. Are you surprised that being buried on the depth chart, T. Hodge, kid from Maryville, and Lenneth Whitehead, who both played some linebacker in high school, have not jumped at the opportunity to get on the defensive side of the ball, where the path to playing time seems much easier?
I have been a lot. You know, the running back spot is really interesting because they have a bunch of guys that I think are pretty good players. I mean, Jabari Small, a good player. We'll be writing a little bit about Jalen Wright a little bit more. D. Beckwith, just a sort of a freak dude. We'll see how they use him. But at the same time, I think they've got 6 guys and they have 29 career carries. Something along those lines. Like, they have some promise there, but they just don't have a known entity there. And I am surprised. I mean, Whitehead especially, on top of that, the top of that list, I don't know how they – it's one thing to move them, right? Okay, to actually make the decision. You're a linebacker now, or we're going to look you at a linebacker. But I asked Jerry Mack last week if they had any conversation about it, and he said no. That's amazing to me. I'm not sure how that is even possible. That you're sitting there, you know, 4th, 5th, whatever on the depth chart. Meanwhile, they've got 2 walk-ons working in the rotation at linebacker on the other side. And you're, you know, what, I think you was like a 4-star, like nation number 11 inside linebacker. And I mean, listen, I don't make these decisions.
Sure.
I've learned over time that when it looks on paper that doesn't make sense, sometimes it just doesn't make sense. And, you know, we'll see what that looks like. But it feels like, from that perspective, a mistake, but far be it for me to second guess.
They're not asking you, huh?
Apparently not. You know, if they want me to take a consulting fee or whatnot, I'd be more than willing to have some conversations. But at the moment, to quote Tennessee's coaching staff in regards to Lenneth Whitehead's move to linebacker, there have been no conversations to that effect.
Well, even with Beckwith, I mean, he's an intriguing talent, and he certainly flashed in the open practice on Saturday. But I'm sitting there wondering, okay, if you're going to give Small a bunch of carries and if Tyon Evans is going to figure in, what does that leave for Beckwith? Are we talking 5 touches or so a game? And I'm just wondering if a talent like that, wouldn't it be better served playing receiver or even tight end?
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually looked this up the other day. I was Googling it, and it's unreliable because I didn't look on every single NFL roster. But you play college. Most of these guys want to play in the NFL, right? I did not find a single 6'5 running back. I think Brandon Jacobs was 6'4. I think that was like as tall as they got. Low center of gravity really matters. Shiftiness matters. I did not find a single one. And I'm sure maybe somebody can correct me, but you know, in the last few years, I did not find a single NFL running back that was over 6'4. Now, again, I think you're right. Can he contribute in college? I would say probably. But what are you trying to do? Do you want to play in the NFL? Maybe he can buck the trend. It's entirely possible. He looked really good running the ball. He's a big dude. He's going to be hard to bring down. He's obviously a freak athlete. Maybe he can buck the trend. But if I'm playing the numbers game, again, there's two guys that don't make a ton of sense at running back at the moment. I think, I'm sure he's intriguing for the stats, trying to figure out what he is and who he is and how they can use him. But if he finishes his career at running back, I mean, it'll be an odd saga, I guess, to say the least.
David, great stuff as always, my man. Appreciate you jumping on the show. Invite folks to follow you on Twitter at David Ubben and, of course, at The Athletic. Thanks, David.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
David Ubben making his presence felt on the G3 Help Me Hotline this afternoon. And certainly it looks like there's going to be plenty to talk about coming out of spring practice as far as position switches, expectations around this program, and what the first year of the Josh Heupel era is going to look like here in Knoxville. We got to take a quick time out right here on the drive. We'll come right back, get Bear's thoughts on David's appearance on the show this afternoon, and your phone calls, 865-546-8200, your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline, 546-8200. If you or a loved one is injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III at 865-558-8030, online at g3helpme.com. The drive continues after this.
Has made the switch. We are now a White Claw hard seltzer family. Crack!
Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Russell and Bear back with you. David Ubben of The Athletic. Bear, what did you learn?
The thing that was interesting to me is, and it's not so much that just a question I have, is Heupel and these guys going to do better than the last three guys at properly placing what talent we do have at the right position? It's something that Dooley maybe didn't struggle with as much as Butch and then Pruitt. I didn't agree with a lot of his.
Are there any notable guys that stick out to you that is like, this guy shouldn't have been at this position?
Crouch, more than anybody. Mm. He was the best running back we had last year.
Mm.
He was the most SEC ready running back that we've had on the roster in several years. Eric Gray's a good back for the spread offense, but just as far as when you know when it's third down and four, and or third and goal at the three, I mean, you look at who they put in. They had a package for him, and I think that part of it was that Pruitt made way too many promises and had a hard time, much like his predecessor, at de-recruiting players once you get them onto campus. I don't know how you do that now, Russ, with the way, you know, the one-time transfer rule, and you know, the coaches are kind of at the mercy of the kids, so to speak. And going forward, they probably will be more, but they've got to do a better job than the last guys did, or they're not going to have much more success. So I didn't realize Weidman was that tall.
Weidman. Oh, Malachi Weidman. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's a weird story, man. I mean, he's a complete non-factor right now. I wonder what's going on there.
Yeah, I have no idea. But that's who he was referring to as being over 6'4 and being a running back, right?
No. We were talking about D. Beckwith.
Oh, D. Beckwith. Sorry, I get those guys mixed up. My apologies.
And then Lenneth Whitehead.
Well, how big is the freight train over there in Nashville with the Titans, Henry?
You know, I was thinking about that while we were talking, and I Googled it. He's listed at 6'3". I would have thought he was...
What is he, like 6'3", 245, and probably, what, 7%? Yeah,
I would have thought he was 6'4 or 6'5".
He runs big.
What do you think? What do you think they ought to do with Beckwith? Are they? I mean, you weren't at the practice, dude. They gave him when they went into full 11-on-11 work, and they lined up with him. I mean, he moved the pile. It was.
Well, I mean, he's a huge, strong kid for sure.
But he was also fast and athletic. Like it was startling, man. He looked really good.
I mean, the problem's going to be Russ when you get into the SEC schedule, and you're playing SEC level, Alabama. Let's just say them. They're going to be able to light him up. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't watch a whole lot of video. I mean, what kind of body lean does a kid run with? I mean,
he looks really good, man. And you could go back and watch the Vanderbilt game. He flashed in that game last year as well. And I do like what Heupel said about it, because people started asking him immediately at the beginning of spring practice, are you going to move D. Beckwith? Are you going to move Lenith Whitehead? And he said, no. These guys have been moved around a lot, particularly Beckwith. I think he started out at wide receiver and played some tight end before settling in at running back. We're going to give him a chance to learn one position, and we're going to develop him. And after spring practice, maybe we'll look. But no, we're gonna let him play running back. That's where he's been at. That's where he's been training. And we're gonna give him a chance there. I do think with Beckwith, he can be. First of all, he could just play. Maybe he beats out Jabari Small. Maybe he's better than Tyon Evans. Evans has been hurt. You need multiple running backs. You need depth there, right?
Oh, sure you do.
But also,
the problem's gonna be is that being that tall, he's gonna take some shots, man.
Yeah.
I don't care if he runs a perfect lean. I mean, he's big. I mean, Jabari Smalls, he's going to, take Alvin Kamara, for example. You know, one of the reasons that he's so dangerous and so deadly with the ball is you don't get clean shots on him.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that I've seen, and we'll see how it goes for him, is Derrick Henry. You know, Brandon Jacobs, maybe he wasn't quite as dominant as Henry has been for the past couple of years.
No.
We've seen big, Christian Okoye over the years. You've seen really tall, imposing running backs, and it just eventually it catches up to them because those guys get hit a lot.
Eddie George,
they get hit up high.
Yeah, I think that he's an interesting case. I do wonder if he played quarterback in high school. I wonder if they use him as in a shotgun type thing, what's the Wildcat type package down towards the goal line. Just let him.
My question is, if he played for Ole Miss, how would Kiffin use this kid?
Probably
if he
receiver.
Was at Alabama or Ohio State or any other than Georgia. I don't know. Maybe Georgia's not. And they do less with more all the time down there. But I mean, he's definitely a weapon. You got to figure out. I mean, it'd be on Heupel if he's a big brain on offense. We all think he is. Hopefully he'll find a way to use this weapon he's got, his incredible athletic talent that he's got, to exploit opposing defenses.
How about this quote? You got to love recruiting, right? Football recruiting. Tennessee gets their first commitment. Elijah Herring from Murfreesboro Riverdale today, a linebacker, 3-star linebacker from the Mid-State. Nice, solid prospect, the first commitment of the Heupel era. This is from Ryan Callahan's article over at GoVols247. The start of the early signing period for the 2022 class is still more than 8 months away, but Herring says he doesn't expect to change his mind about playing at Tennessee. Quote, I plan on keeping the door open, but this seems like the one.
Yeah, it's never over until you sign.
Plan on keeping the door open.
Yeah. I'm telling you. If I were a highly touted kid coming out now, I wouldn't. I'd just be like, I'll show up when I show up. Especially if you're 5-star. I'd
we
got to
come up with
I
a new
sign anything.
We got to come up with a new word for other than commitment. Right.
I think we'd have an easier time coming up. We can't even come up with a good nickname for
a reservation. That's what they should call it. It's a reservation. I'm making a reservation. I'm reserving my spot in your 2022 signing class.
Well, sure, because at the end of the day, let's say we go 8-4 this year. Just let's pretend. Let's pretend we go 8-4 this year, and all of a sudden we get the big Mo going on the recruiting trail, and we suddenly have three five a 5-star and some other more highly touted linebackers you don't think that if it came number crunching time that we wouldn't cancel his reservation? It's modern day college football, Russell. You know we would.
I think I stumbled on something. That should be a new term, man. We didn't get a commitment today. We got a reservation.
He reserved a spot.
Yes.
So, I mean, he's got a committable offer. I mean, there's recruiting's so nuts. You know, you got offers, committable offers, reservations. I'm leaving the door open.
We process, kids. I'm leaning here.
Yeah.
I like it when they say
the back.
Coaches are really high on him. They're really high on this guy.
I mean, the NCAA, did they pass it yet, the one-time transfer, or they just
I saw
like
a thing
it?
Ross Dellinger was writing that they are close to finalizing that beginning in June.
So free agency starts in college football in June. That's essentially what it's going to be.
I like it when a kid releases like a top 12, and he has the edit on Twitter, and it's got 12 logos of all the schools on there. And it's always, if it's an elite talent, he'll always have Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, all the SEC schools, Clemson, Florida State. And then wherever he's from, if he's from Mississippi, he'll have like Jackson State on there. Just
yeah.
Remember Ty Simpson. Yeah, Ty Simpson did that with UT Martin.
Yeah, he wasn't going to UT Martin.
Throw the local school a bone. I cannot believe, shout out to Don and Sweetwater for pointing this out to me. I've been making this, I feel like such a dumbass. So we've been doing this basketball roster vigil for the past couple of weeks, and I've been saying that there are five returnees. I've not been counting Victor Bailey Jr.
Six returnees.
Yes. Will he be a junior next
year? Coming back.
Yeah, I think he's coming. I've not heard any rumblings of him taking off. I mean, he just sat out. I don't think you sit out a year like he did and then play and had some nice games and flashed a little bit and then take off again. I guess he wouldn't have to sit out, or would he? It's just a one-time transfer thing. I don't know.
Yeah, but COVID, who knows with COVID? Confusing. I mean, he got hot at times. It was just kind of felt like he should have been red-lighted in a couple of games too. We didn't really have, you know, last year was last year. So this is going to be a crazy basketball season. I'm already more jacked up about seeing the basketball team than I am the football team. Just because I feel like football is going to be a long slog back to even getting to mediocrity.
Well, and you've got this cloud of NCAA uncertainty hanging over you like the sword of Damocles. It can drop any minute, but it's probably going to be a while. It's just, oh, man, it sucks so much of the life out of it.
It's just about ruined it. They've about killed it completely dead, man.
How big was Jalen Hurd? He's a big running back.
He was probably, what, 6'3"?
He had to be at 6'4", at least.
He's listed as 6'5" on Wikipedia.
Yeah, I kid it. He ain't 6'5".
He's pretty big, man.
No, I mean, he's no doubt about
I'll
it.
I'll give him 6'4 at least.
I put him about 6'3 and a half, 240 when he was playing here.
God, man,
I don't know. I mean, he was huge, but he didn't want to be a running back.
No.
Botch, in his infinite wisdom, had Alvin Kamara. Let's just not do that again.
Yeah, I feel like, and it's just, I feel like it's, I mean, he was a great running back. They both were. He could have played running back in the NFL. He would have been an NFL back. I don't know that he would have been as good as Kamara, but
I don't think he would have lasted very long.
Yeah, if not for the injury situation, he's just been injury prone, man. His entire career.
Going all the way back to high school.
Yeah,
I just was more into what we were talking about, you know, when we first jumped on this segment about knowing where to plug your talent in, and I always think back to what you could have had from sideline to sideline at each position.
What could have been? Folks, Starch Madness continues through the end of the month at Crowd Cleaners. Bring in three dress shirts. Get the fourth laundered for free. Keeping your dress shirts sharp and stylish is a team effort. It requires strategy. Crown Cleaners is wide open, but the ball is in your court. Let Crown Cleaners make sure your best dress shirts are a slam dunk. Bring in three dress shirts. Get the fourth laundered for free. Three dress shirts, the fourth laundered for free. Go to fanrunradio.com to get the coupon. Click on the Starch Madness logo there. You can print it off and stick it in the bag with your shirts before they're picked up for free. Or you can take your shirts up there to Crown Cleaners on Bearden Hill or out on North Shore Drive and just show them the coupon on your phone. They'll zap it with the thing. And then you have, A, saved money on your dry cleaning bill and supported Fan Run Radio and Crown Cleaners, Knoxville's choice for dry cleaning for over 50 years. That's a win, win, win. Everybody wins. We win. They win. You win. Starch Madness.
All win.
Crown Cleaners. We're all winners. Everybody gets a trophy. Coming up, hour number two of the show. Guy will have the top four at four when we continue here in just a second. And Lucas Panzica will join the festivities in hour number two as well. Stay with us. You're listening to The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.